You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Yes, welcome to another edition of Right Side Radio. But it's Yaffe, different voice. Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams today here on Right Side Radio, but still solid conservative and just plain right, of course. There's going to be a lot of different stuff we're going to talk about today. Many of you hear me in the mornings. If you're wondering, though, for the Birmingham audience, if you're wondering, you know, who this is, who I am, you can find out more about me on Twitter at Yaffe. I usually host the Yaffe program 9 to 11 a.m. on News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. But it is pretty good to be able to talk once again with the Right Side Ruffians. Boomer is producing, though, back in the studio. Boomer, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, Yaffe. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty excited to talk about all the things. Now, I do have a question for you, Boomer.
Oh, yeah. Go on and shoot it.
Because, you know, I know that Phil every day does the triple dipper.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because he usually has like three big topics. And I was thinking right before the show, I'm like, you know, I have three big topics too today.
Ooh.
But I don't know if I want to call it the triple dipper because that's kind of like Phil's thing. I mean, I guess I could during his show. Do I call it like the triple yaffer or do I call it the...
The triple yaffer. I kind of like that. As, I mean, that's what has a good ring to it.
Because my last name is Yaffe. And for those who don't know, yes. It is my real last name. It is spelled Y-A-F-F-E-E. It's not Yappy. It's Yaffe. But yeah, you're laughing, but I have to do that. I have to explain it for the new audience because they will get it wrong.
I get it. I get it. I have one of those last names too. People miss say or misspell all the time. My last name's May, but it's spelled M-A-H-Y. And so everybody's like, Mahi? Mehi? Are you a fish? Mahi,
yeah.
Mahi? No, I'm not a fish. So
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, that yeah. I would probably be one of those people that gets it wrong.
It's okay.
As well.
I just kind of let it go now. I've lived with it the whole time, so it's all good.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna start with the triple yaffer.
I didn't make any
fancy sound effect for that. I guess actually, before I get to the three big topics today, I do want to highlight one. Have a couple of great guests coming up on the show. So former state attorney Jay Towne is going to be joining us. I wanted to talk to him about a couple of different things. First, the Supreme Court case. Now we're going to get a little bit more into that in just a moment. The Supreme Court case dealing with the religious liberty. A graphic designer who is a Christian wants to make sure that she is not forced to design something that's against her religious beliefs. So filed a lawsuit, went all the way to the Supreme Court. Don't know where the court's going to rule, but the oral arguments of that were yesterday. So I wanted to talk with Jay Towne about that. Also, though, and these are big topics on my show this morning as well, but the Attorney General, who I'm a big fan of, Steve Marshall, he came out yesterday, held a big press conference talking about the death penalty. Kind of disagreeing, rejecting a request from Kay Ivey about this. He said there is no moratorium, at least in his office, when it comes to the death penalty. And he made some really good points on that front. So that's another thing I can discuss with Jay Towne. And the third thing I wanted to discuss with him as well is State Representative Carrie Underwood said one of the issues right now that he really wants to deal with as a newly elected legislator is these forensic labs, you know, when you have a police investigation, some kind of law enforcement investigation, they'll send DNA, other evidence to a lab to get the results for different things. And when you watch on TV, you know, you have CSI, and CSI will come like back immediately. And he's like, look, doesn't happen like that. In fact, here in Alabama, it takes too long. We need more of these forensic labs because it's just taking too long. It shouldn't take 6 to 8 months for these investigations to get going because they're waiting for lab work. So he says the legislature needs to do something about this. And I agree with them. And Jay Towne actually responded on Twitter with an idea of what could be done about this that doesn't even necessarily involve building more labs or having more funding. So that's the third thing we'll talk to him about. And so we're going to get with Jay Towne at the bottom of the hour. But what I want to start with here, I actually ended my show with it earlier today a little bit, but I didn't get to get into too much detail. But I think it's actually a pretty important story. Has to do with something in the history of this country, in the history of entertainment. And the main reason I'm going to bring this up is because right now in pop culture entertainment, specifically looking at Disney, but pretty much all pop culture entertainment, they're not getting the message of what at least half the country wants. Now, Disney, maybe they're kind of getting the message because they got rid of Bob Chapek as CPO. They're bringing in Bob Iger. But they're not getting the full message that they want programming that doesn't indoctrinate kids, doesn't push kids into some kind of leftist ideology, some kind of woke ideology, some kind of ideology like that. And I think it's very, I think it's important, some radical transgender ideology or something like that. So looking back, because it's Christmas time, and I actually, it was my pastor this past week who talked about this in his sermon. And I was like, can I steal that story? Because I didn't know that. And I guess it's not really, I mean, oh my gosh, stealing from a pastor. I'm not really stealing because it's his story. But he told me some of his sources and he said, sure. And it has to do with how the Christmas special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, came to be, came into existence. And it's really a message, not just, you know, for all time, but a message today, specifically for those in our pop culture leadership that want to shove some of this other stuff down our throats. Now, A Charlie Brown Christmas was something that was created in the 1960s. Think about this, and there was still pushback. But this had to do with the fact that Coca-Cola came to the creators of Charlie Brown and wanted to do a Christmas special. And they wanted to sponsor it because Peanuts, the cartoon strip by Charles Schulz, was so popular, and they wanted to do a Christmas special. Now, the person who produced the special, Lee Mendelson, was called by Coca-Cola, and him and Charles Schulz say they're going to do it. And there's sort of a short timeline, but they decide to do this Christmas special. Now, the problem was that a lot of things that Charles Schulz wanted in this special, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, were rejected by executives at CBS, by people he worked with. They were afraid Coca-Cola was going to reject it. Now, they didn't outright reject it. They were willing to go along with it because there was a time constraint. It was already promised, but they thought, because of certain things that Charles Schulz wanted in this special, in this Christmas special, they thought that it was going to be a complete disaster, that nobody was going to want to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas, that it was going to be rejected by the vast majority of the American people. Now, what were some of the things that were he insisted on putting in this Christmas special that Charles Schulz wanted in there? Said it had to absolutely be in there, the creator of Peanuts, that some of these executives were worried about, that some of the producers, some of the creators wanted to reject. Well, one of them was to have kids be the voice actors, actual kids. That was something that wasn't done a lot that time because it can be hard to work with kids, obviously. But he said, I want this to be real and I want kids to do the voice acting. Now, the other thing was the jazz music, all the famous jazz music of these specials that make people love it so much. They thought people were going to hate it. Oh, no, it's got to be something more catchy, more with the times or something. And Charles Schulz said, no, it's got to be this way. But there was a third thing as well, and this was something that they really tried to get out of this special, that they tried to edit out, that they fought Charles Schulz on, and he demanded that it stay in there. I actually sent you the audio, Boomer. There's a part in, and you all know this, but I'll play just in case you don't remember. There's a part in this movie where one of the characters, Linus, who is kind of one of the, you know, he usually has a blanket, he's sucking his thumb. You wouldn't expect him to speak out like this, but he does at a certain part and says the true Christmas story. Can you go ahead and play that clip for
and
me, Boomer, the Charlie
were
Brown.
The same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
So there it was. There it was. The true story of Christmas, a very religious message straight out of the Bible, actually. And the producers and CBS executives and others said they were really worried that people were not going to want a religious message. CBS executives assumed Americans, especially kids, wouldn't want to sit through a spoken passage from the King James Bible. The producer said they were freaking out about something so overtly religious in a Christmas special, they basically wrote it off. But because there were time constraints and it was already promised, they put it in there and they just expected this to be a disaster. But the opposite happened. It was a complete success. As you know, I mean, I don't have to tell you that. It's still successful. Even today, Apple Plus had to buy it. Apple TV Plus had to get it, and they have the rights to it. And the reason, there's a reason why they still wanted the rights to it. But what happened as well is Coca-Cola was inundated with letters from fans of the special talking about how much they appreciated it, how real it was, the message it had, everything else. They thought in the 60s it wouldn't work. Imagine what they would say today. And Coca-Cola became, you know, Coca-Cola was already successful, but even more and more people were like, I'm going to buy Coca-Cola and drink a lot of it for Christmas because you played this special. I think this could be a good lesson for the executives today. Now, there is a problem in our culture. There are probably more people in our culture who reject this kind of stuff than did even in the 60s, but there's still a large portion, at least half the country, and I think the majority of the people in this country, there is a hunger. There is a real hunger, desire for the truth and for a good conservative Christian message that has family values. I think there's a hunger out there, even from people who don't even know it. And I wish those in Hollywood, Disney, whatever, instead of going down this old route that's continuing to fail, look at Disney's latest movie, maybe they could learn something, which is still popular today, from Charlie Brown and Linus. That's what I think. Will they take the message from history, maybe learn from history here? I wish. I'm not optimistic, but I wish they would. We need more people like Charles Schulz, by the way, who are willing to stand up for their convictions on stuff like this. We're going to take a break here. When we get back, we can get your reaction to that. Do you think that Disney would be able to get the message here? You can call in at 833-687-4448, 833-68-RIGHT. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams. Solid conservative and just plain right. Make sure I get that right as I'm filling in. Boomer is here as well. If you want to react to anything we're talking about today, you can 833-687-4448, 833-68-RIGHT. Appreciate you staying with us as I am filling in the last segment. Oh, by the way, in the next segment, Jay Towns is going to join us to talk about the Supreme Court case. In the last segment, though, we were talking about what we could learn from the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I know, feel good stuff, but, you know, I'm just in that kind of mood, I guess, where maybe the producers at Disney, the CEO at Disney could understand that having a good traditional family values message, especially when it comes to maybe a Christmas movie. I mean, that new movie they have out, which I have not seen, Strange World, which totally bombed at the box office. They kind of portrayed that in some of the ads as a what did they say? They said it's like a good Thanksgiving message, a good conservative message or something like that. I'm like, what? I don't think anyone believes that there is some kind of, this is a great Thanksgiving movie. Am I wrong on that, Boomer?
That's very right. They're very true. Very true. I was like, what is this?
I don't know if you've even seen, have you seen some of the trailers or commercials for it?
I saw the trailers and then I was like, I'm never going to watch another trailer like this again.
What's funny is when you watch the trailer, I mean, when I watch it, I had no idea what it's about.
Mm.
Like, could you even tell like what the movie is about from any of the commercials?
No, it was just like a bunch of just scenes put together.
It's just so bizarre. Do you think that's on purpose, though? Do you think they did that on purpose?
Probably just to suck people in, just to see, it's a Disney movie. We're gonna like it. Let's just go watch it.
How sad is it that in today, I mean, when I was a kid and my parents wanted to watch a movie that was safe for us, they didn't have to think twice about putting in a Disney movie, right?
Oh, absolutely. It was just
gonna be good. How sad is our state of affairs that that's how it is now?
Right. I mean, I have kids, and you know, I kind of have to second guess what they may be watching, you know, just because I don't know what they're putting out right now. It's like I have to go watch it first.
Yeah, it's true, and it's that, and that's why it bombed at the box office. Now, we were talking about Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm sure you've seen that, right?
Oh yes, yes, I do love some Charlie Brown.
What is, when you think of a good, I was trying to think of this during the break. When you think of a good Christmas movie that you watch every year all the time, like what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite? Do you have some that you really like?
I do. Some of my favorites, I have to watch Christmas Vacation. I mean, that's just...
Okay, that's a good one.
That's, you know, that, and then, I mean, that's kind of one of the ones that I really have to watch every year. And then, you know, some of the other ones like The Grinch, but then like the Charlie Brown... White Christmas, those things. I mean, the ones that have value
White
as well.
White Christmas.
You know,
it's my mom's like favorite Christmas movie.
You know, that's some of my family's favorite Christmas movie as well. So, I mean, it's all those movies that just bring back memories and family and what Christmas is all about. You know, there's this one now that's called The Star. I love watching that with my kids. And it's a donkey that basically takes, you know, Mary and Joseph to where baby Jesus is being born. And it's a pretty awesome movie.
I remember that one. Yeah. What was that one called? Now
the Star.
That up.
Mm-hmm.
Star. That's right. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
It's really good. Yeah, really good.
I'm surprised you didn't, because I was thinking of this too. I'm surprised you didn't say the Santa Claus.
Oh, Santa Claus! I just watched the Santa Claus last night. I don't know why I didn't say that.
You had just seen it too. I mean, the sequels are kind of
right.
I don't know, kind of weird. But the original is pretty good with Tim Allen.
Yes, Tim Allen.
Now, of course, you know the best Christmas movie of all time. You can say it. Go ahead. You know what it is, right?
Well, which, I don't know. What is it? Now you got me on my toes.
Die Hard.
Of course. Oh, Die Hard.
Die Hard.
You can't forget about Die Hard.
Jeez. All right. We got J-Town coming up next. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams today. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to fill in. Most of you also hear me in the mornings on WVNN, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, my show, The Yaffe Program. If you want to find out more about that, you can just Google Yaffe, Y-A-F-F-E-E, the Yaffe Program Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe or like the Yaffe Facebook page. Something I was talking about on my show this morning that I want to get expertise on is the Supreme Court case. So there's the case in front of the Supreme Court has to do with religious freedom. Now, the specific case is 303 Creative LLC versus Alanis. It's the case of Lori Smith, a Colorado designer who refuses to create websites with messages that conflict with her faith. It's very similar to the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, and they had oral arguments yesterday in front of the Supreme Court. It's interesting listening to some of the media reaction to this, but I wanted to get some legal expertise on that. So joining me on the show right now, former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne. Jay, really appreciate you coming on and talking about this with us.
Happy to do it, Yaffe. How you doing this afternoon?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. Just, trying to close the year out strong.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. So there's actually a few different topics I wanted to discuss with you, but we'll start with the Supreme Court case. Did you happen to catch any of the oral arguments yesterday?
I did, and I actually read a lot about it, too. It's a pretty, look, anytime you're before the United States Supreme Court, it's not an easy issue. We might think it is, or we might think that the outcome is obvious, but it doesn't get to oral arguments before the Supreme Court of the United States without the issues being incredibly complex and the decision itself being incredibly difficult. Now, they might have a 9-0 court that says we're unanimous in this decision, but it's never arrived at lightly because cases that are easy don't get to the Supreme Court. They stop at the appellate level or maybe even just the district court level.
Huh, that's kind of interesting because when you think about the case of Joe Biden executive orders, that to me seems like an easy case, but I mean, I guess there's so much political bias, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So
okay.
This one, this one, as you mentioned, is a complex. Talk a little bit about why that is.
Well, so really what this is actually a free speech case with a big sprinkle of freedom of religion in it. So just for the listeners, Colorado passed a state law. Everybody remembers the Colorado Baker case, the Masterpiece Bake Shop case from 2018, where that baker was being forced to bake a cake for a same-sex couple, and he said it was against his religion to do so. And the Supreme Court ruled in his favor and said that the Colorado anti-discrimination law was overbroad. And so now this is a free speech case because this is a website designer being asked by a same-sex couple to design essentially a wedding website for them. And because she believes in her faith that religion is, that marriage is between a man and a woman, she refused to build a website. And the argument is that building a website, you are essentially, that is your artistry. That is your expression. So when we think of freedom of speech, don't forget it's also freedom of expression. And so her artistry is building this website where she is expressing that this is not that I don't want to sell to that couple, but I don't want to express the belief that same-sex marriage is okay because my religion prohibits it or my faith does. And so it's really a free speech case based on her freedom of religion. So the two sort of intersect. And essentially what Colorado is forcing her to do under the penalties of fines, and in New York there's a similar case where the Emily Carpenter is a wedding photographer who doesn't want to do the same thing for same-sex couples. And she's facing not only $100,000 in fines, but a year in jail, right? Because she doesn't believe that that's how she wants her artistry to be performed. She doesn't want her business to lend itself to that type of service for same-sex weddings. And so Colorado is trying to compel on this website designer speech, and it essentially is saying that, you're being compelled to speak a message by designing in your artistry this website that says that essentially endorses same-sex unions. Or same-sex marriage. And she's saying, I shouldn't have to do that because the state is compelling me to say something I don't want to say. Now, there's a case going back to, you remember the Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade, Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, and the LGBT group, TQ group sued them, saying, you got to let us in your parade. Now, people don't know this, but parades are put on by private groups. The Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade is put on by Macy's. They pay for it. So everybody that marches in that parade is Macy's is saying, you get to be here. Well, the Friendly Sons weren't going to have that option if you were to have left it up to the district court and the appellate court. But the Supreme Court said, no, if they're in my parade, then people watching the parade would make the assumption that I endorse whatever the beliefs of the groups that are in my parade. So I should be able to pick who those groups are, and I should be able to agree with those groups. It shouldn't just be open for everyone. And so, but at the same time, and here's where it gets complicated, Yaffe, businesses can't just discriminate against people, really based on any reason, but just come up with, well, my religion says I can't sell groceries to black people. Well, black people have constitutional rights too. And I'm not suggesting same-sex couples don't. They clearly do after the Obergefell case. But what I'm saying is that when constitutional rights clash, because there is a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, because there is a First Amendment that applies to every race, creed, color, that your religion in that case is going to have to, if you own a public business, you're going to have to serve people of color, for instance. But you can't force me to believe a certain way or write down that I believe in same-sex marriage and put that sign up outside of my cake shop. You just can't do that as a state. So you can see how these issues, they boil down to a bunch of hypotheticals. Well, what if there was a black Santa Claus and some kid showed up in a KKK outfit and wanted to sit on his lap? Shouldn't the black Santa be able to say no, right? And, I don't have to be a con law professor to say, hell yes, he should be able to say no, and then somebody should go beat the hell out of the kid's parents. But we don't have time for reasonable solutions here, Yaffe. at the end of the day, people do get to choose. There's a line, but there is a line that people get to choose how they conduct their business and with whom, as long as they're not discriminating against who they're doing business with, but they're practicing their business in observance of, let's say, their belief system that is rooted in religion. And so that's where the line starts to get hairy, because you can see people abusing this sort of constitutional protection, and that's what makes it really hard for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and you made a very important distinction there, which I think is worth repeating. You talked about how it's more than just religious freedom, it's freedom of speech, because like the cake shop owner or this graphic designer, it's not about serving a specific individual based on who they are as an individual. It's about a piece of art. So like, to me, a good example would be,
right,
instead of a cake or graphic design, a painting. We wouldn't expect a painter to be forced to paint some kind of piece of art that goes against their religion or could even be racist or something. Is that
right?
Is that really right, where the distinction is?
Well, it is, because, and that's the problem with some of these anti-discrimination laws, is they apply to all businesses and they're well-intentioned. But some businesses are different. If I sell jewelry, well, that's very different than, there's really not a free speech or free religion protection involved in the sale of a necklace. But when you are asking me to create a website for you that says gender is irrelevant in a relationship, a marital relationship, and I don't believe that, I shouldn't have to create that. At least the plaintiff in this case is saying that for the Supreme Court. And because I don't believe that, that's my free speech, and you're forcing me to have to say that simply because I own a business. And so that's where you have to draw a line or a distinction between certain types of businesses that involve artistry and free speech. Certainly, we can compel the Denver Post to print an article that believes in, every Republican ideal, the entire Ron DeSantis platform, right? We couldn't compel them to do that under state law. If they don't want to print an ad that has the same language, they don't have to, right? Because they have freedom of speech. have Uber protection, whereas the jewelry store doesn't. Right? Ron DeSantis gets to go in there and buy a necklace, regardless of his political leaning. So there are distinctions between the public accommodation or public access of businesses in the state of Colorado or anywhere in the United States. And I think the Supreme Court, when you read this decision, it'll come out in favor of this plaintiff, but it'll suggest that businesses under public accommodation laws, they're going to have to show that they don't have to accommodate the public past a certain line because it would compel speech or something that is antithetical to their religious belief. And that's where I think the line is going to be drawn. And I think it's probably a pretty reasonable line. It gets hairy for me when I start thinking about someone, you know, a white nationalist thinking that my religion or the Christian religion suggests that, you don't do anything with black customers or black people, and that's their sincerely held religious belief. Does that fall under this scrutiny? And how does that play out? That whole discussion seems ridiculous to me. The answer has to be no. But how do you craft a decision in this case such that it can't be used against reasonable minds in the arc of the example I just gave, so that that case comes out the way it should, which is, of course, you can't just discriminate people in your business based on their skin tone. So that's why the decision has to be very narrowly crafted, so it can't be weaponized for, illegitimate purposes.
Speaking with former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne, and you kind of answered my question, but it sounds like you think the Supreme Court will side with this Christian graphic designer.
Oh, I do, and I think it'll be a 6-3 decision, maybe 5-4, but I think it'll probably be 6-3. And again, it is, not to be sound redundant, but it is compelling that the state of Colorado is trying to compel someone to say something they don't believe in, right? I mean, that is not what our government should be able to do. And that's very different than compelling someone to sell jewelry to the same couple, their wedding rings, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to come up with a religious belief there that would prevent that sale. Because if you open your doors to the public, you open them to the public. And you shouldn't be inquiring with them about, hey, what's your religion? Oh, I just want to make sure I can sell you this sandwich, right?
Right.
I mean, so that's why it's important. That's why all these cases are more complicated. I hope I'm laying that out for the listeners. More complicated than just right and wrong. The opinions themselves have to be written in a way so they can't be misused or misunderstood by legislatures going forward when they're passing these types of laws, or maybe going back and rewriting them so that they accommodate what the court's opinion suggests.
Jay, is it possible? I know I didn't ask you before, but could you possibly stay with me for one more segment, or do you have to go? Because I did want to ask you about another topic, but if you have to go, I understand.
Yeah, tell me over the break what the other topic is, though, will you?
I will. I think it's something you know about, but we'll be right back here in a moment. We're going to take a break. More with Jay Towne. This is Right Side Radio. I am Yaffe filling in for Mr. Phil Williams. Back in just a moment. Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams, solid conservative and just plain right. Continuing our conversation right now with former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne, legal expert extraordinaire here in Alabama. Jay, I wanted to keep you on. Yes, I mean, am I wrong? You're the guy I go to.
I'm a modest, so you don't want to ask me. Yeah.
But the main reason I want to keep you on for one more segment is I want to get your take on what the Attorney General of Alabama, Steve Marshall, said yesterday, mm-hmm. coming out defending the use of the death penalty, kind of taking on the media for being more sympathetic to convicted killers than, you know, the victims of those killers, basically, and kind of disagreeing with the governor a little bit on this, it seemed like. What was your take on his comments yesterday?
Well, in reverse order, I think what his, I don't think he was being critical of KIV. I think what he was saying is, look, if you want to commute this person's sentence, you can. But as far as who carries out the execution of an individual who's been given a death sentence in Alabama, that's my job, Steve Marshall. It's his job. And it's the Supreme Court's. That's it. And we all have our legal roles. And so it's inappropriate for the Speaker of the House, right, or even the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama Chief Justice to say there's a moratorium on death penalty in the state of Alabama. No, that is absolutely inappropriate. It's Steve's job to decide when to petition the Supreme Court of Alabama for the next execution. Now, Steve has agreed, General Marshall has agreed to wait until the governor's top-to-bottom review of what's going on. But I also think that General Marshall's comments about whether it's the media or just people on Twitter, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Let me read to you what he said, because I think it's important for everybody to hear this. What occurred on November 17th, that was the day that they weren't allowed to, they couldn't find a vein, and that's what caused the top-to-bottom review. What occurred on November 17th was a travesty, but not for the reason that many death penalty opponents and death row sympathizers would have the public to believe. It was a travesty of justice, not for Kenny Smith, the man who's supposed to be put to death, the twice convicted murderer who was scheduled to be executed that day, but it was for Elizabeth Sennett and the members of her family. 35 years, that's how long Elizabeth Sennett's family waited for justice to occur. 35 long years. And so the well-known axiom is true, justice delayed is justice denied. So my point in reading that is twofold. One, the sentence that an individual serves, whether it's a day or death, that sentence is for the state of Alabama. That sentence is punitive towards the defendant, and it's also to bring justice to the victims of the crime, in this case, Elizabeth Sennett, who's dead. And so... we have to understand all of those things. It's not just one thing. It's not just, man, this guy, he's been on death row. It's a really hard place to serve your time. He's been there for 35 years, and they should just let him go at this point, because hasn't everybody forgotten about Elizabeth Sennett? I mean, my goodness, isn't 35 years long enough? No, he was given a lawful sentence of death, and it is the obligation of the Attorney General to carry that sentence out until he's told otherwise by the governor of the state of Alabama. And so I think that, you know, and here's the other thing. There is this sort of run out the clock game that the lawyers, death penalty opponents, that they run to try to get an appeal as far as it can get into the evening of the death penalty night. So if at 10 or 10:30 it comes back, yes, you can kill them, then there is a process that the state has to go through. And sometimes that takes longer than 90 minutes and they call it off. What a win. Now they got a petition back to the Supreme Court that buys us another couple of months. Maybe we can win some other novel theory. And they just keep doing it and making it so laborious that the state would just give up. Well, there's no quit in General Marshall. There's no quit in the DAs in this state. So
I agree with you in that. We're fortunately just completely out of time, Jay, but I think you're exactly right on that. Former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne, thank you so much for coming on. I know I'll talk to you again in the future, my friend.
Thanks, Yaffe. You bet. See
ya. All right. 1 hour already done. Got 2 more hours to go on Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams. Be back in a moment.